English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2003, Advanced Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. Now, in Parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the correct alternative answer according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the answer sheet. The test is about to begin. You will hear Part 1 twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Hello, Guy. How are you this morning?
Fine, Liz, fine. It's a wonderful morning.
Yes, it is. And our listeners are probably wondering what we're serving this morning.
Scrambled eggs and bacon? Now, how about talking about the dumbest criminals? You know, I used to be a police reporter.
Yeah, and...
That means I've read thousands of arrest reports. And during those years, I developed an opinion about criminals. Many of them lack something as far as brain power is concerned.
And I've got a couple of opinions also, especially about those fellows who stole the trash out of my garage.
Yeah, serious criminals those were. Did you hear about the gentleman in Springdale who was overly drunk? He became tired while staggering home from the tavern. He stopped a police car, thinking it was a taxi. Well, he got the rest in the drunk tank that night.
And in Bentonville, the man in the van who was involved in a gas drive-off witnessed by a deputy sheriff. He abandoned the van during the chase that followed. Then, while running through the woods, he dropped his glasses. He met a stranger on a nearby road and asked him for a ride. He didn't notice that the man was wearing a police uniform. Bad deal.
Some criminals think they're as invincible as Superman and smarter than Einstein, when in fact they couldn't make change for a quarter.
Yes, and some are technically challenged. There were the burglars in Fayetteville who stole a camcorder. Not understanding the mechanics of such a fine device, they managed to turn it on somehow and caught their likenesses on tape, as well as their voices bragging about their exploits. The videotape was still in the machine when they took it to the pawn shop to sell it. The owner happened to recognize it during a visit to the pawn shop. And after viewing the tape, officers knew exactly where to find the thieves.
And bank robbers are a class by themselves. One lad who had heard from the smart folks down at the pool hall that spraying with an oily spray would render a camera incapable of doing its job really missed the point. He believed that the object was to spray his own face to make himself invisible rather than to spray the camera lens. Unfortunately for him, his shinier-than-usual image was plainly visible on the surveillance tape.
Another robber, who understood that shaving cream was the magic potion, started spraying his face while standing in line. The surprised bank clerk alerted the police, and the man was arrested the moment he delivered the robbery note.
But I think I have you beat. The dumbest one of all was the man who dropped into a small store, chatted with the clerk a bit, and then put on a ski mask before whipping out a gun and demanding money. It was all caught on tape, of course, but something of a mystery remained.
Yeah. Why was it that he put on the mask after going in? Well, perhaps he thought that robbers used ski masks to make themselves look more threatening rather than to avoid being recognized. In any case, it wasn't a very smart thing to do.
Now listen to the same story in five sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
Hello, Guy. How are you this morning?
Fine, Liz, fine. It's a wonderful morning.
Yes, it is. And our listeners are probably wondering what we're serving this morning.
Scrambled eggs and bacon? Now, how about talking about the dumbest criminals? You know, I used to be a police reporter.
Yeah, and...
That means I've read thousands of arrest reports. And during those years, I developed an opinion about criminals. Many of them lack something as far as brain power is concerned.
Answer questions 1 and 2. Look at questions 3 and 4.
And I've got a couple of opinions also, especially about those fellows who stole the trash out of my garage.
Yes, yeah, serious criminals those were. Did you hear about the gentleman in Springdale who was overly drunk? He became tired while staggering home from the tavern. He stopped a police car, thinking it was a taxi. Well, he got the rest in the drunk tank that night.
And in Bentonville, the man in the van who was involved in a gas drive-off witnessed by a deputy sheriff. He abandoned the van during the chase that followed. Then, while running through the woods, he dropped his glasses. He met a stranger on a nearby road and asked him for a ride. He didn't notice that the man was wearing a police uniform. Bad deal.
Answer questions 3 and 4, then look at questions 5 and 6.
Some criminals think they're as invincible as Superman and smarter than Einstein, when in fact they couldn't make change for a quarter.
Yes, and some are technically challenged. There were the burglars in Fayetteville who stole a camcorder. Not understanding the mechanics of such a fine device, they managed to turn it on somehow and caught their likenesses on tape, as well as their voices bragging about their exploits. The videotape was still in the machine when they took it to the pawn shop to sell it. The owner happened to recognize it during a visit to the pawn shop. And after viewing the tape, officers knew exactly where to find the thieves.
Answer questions 5 and 6. Look at questions 7 and 8.
And bank robbers are a class by themselves. One lad who had heard from the smart folks down at the pool hall that spraying with an oily spray would render a camera incapable of doing its job really missed the point. He believed that the object was to spray his own face to make himself invisible rather than to spray the camera lens. Unfortunately for him, his shinier-than-usual image was plainly visible on the surveillance tape.
Another robber, who understood that shaving cream was the magic potion, started spraying his face while standing in line. The surprised bank clerk alerted the police, and the man was arrested the moment he delivered the robbery note.
Answer questions 7 and 8, then look at questions 9 and 10.
But I think I have you beat. The dumbest one of all was the man who dropped into a small store, chatted with the clerk a bit, and then put on a ski mask before whipping out a gun and demanding money. It was all caught on tape, of course, but something of a mystery remained.
Yeah. Why was it that he put on the mask after going in? Well, perhaps he thought that robbers used ski masks to make themselves look more threatening rather than to avoid being recognized. In any case, it wasn't a very smart thing to do.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the second part of the test. In this part, you will hear 10 short dialogues. Each one involves a different situation with different speakers. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 11.
Tim?
Yes?
You know I was in the Girl Guides until last year.
Yow.
Well, the Girl Guides are changing their name to Girl Guiding UK. Surprise yourself. And, for example, they're going to replace the traditional summer camp with a football festival.
But will they start taking boys? I think not.
Answer question 11, then look at question 12.
Did you hear what Aunt Helen did at the grocery store last week?
No, what did she do?
Well, she asked a young clerk to help her carry her groceries out to her car. When she got there, she unlocked and opened the doors, and then, without a moment's thought, she sat down in the back seat to check off her list of errands.
Oh, my.
And then the young clerk walked around the side of the car and announced, "Lady, I don't mind helping you load your groceries, but I really gotta draw the line at driving you home."
Oh, no, I bet she was upset.
Answer question 12, look at question 13.
Right here in this information brochure, it says that Oxford University still won't be taking more pupils from state schools.
Hasn't the government tried for several years to get the top universities to take more?
Sure, but they always come back with the phrase, "We need to attract the brightest and best students, whatever their background."
But that simply isn't true. Students from independent schools are always terribly overrepresented.
I'll say, I don't think we have a chance of getting in, even with our A-levels and good marks.
I know. I'm even thinking of going to school in Australia.
Answer question 13, then look at question 14.
What a mess last night.
What happened?
Didn't you read the paper this morning?
Nope.
Well, over near Guthrie, 17 cows were killed by lightning. They were all standing under the same tree when it hit.
That's awful.
Answer question 14. Look at question 15.
My neighbour's got a Rottweiler.
So?
And he's got a duck.
Well, he's certainly got to keep those two apart.
No, actually, the first time the Rottweiler saw the duck, you'd have thought he'd go for him. But he just sniffed him over and that was that. They're best friends. They take walks together and even sleep in the same pen.
Then that's one bird no one messes around with.
Surely not.
Answer question 15, then look at question 16.
Did you know that now is just the time to buy a used car?
Why is that?
Because more people lease cars nowadays.
How does that help the used car market?
Well, since 30% of all new car buyers lease rather than buy, and they return the well-cared-for leased cars after only 2 or 3 years as their leases end, there are a lot of good late-model used cars on the market, and it's driving prices down.
What are we waiting for? Let's go look at them.
Answer question 16, look at question 17.
Ah, oh, I'd really like to go to Buenos Aires.
What? Why there?
Well, it says here that it's a handsome, cosmopolitan city full of pavement cafes, sophisticated diversions, excellent shops, where everything is going cheap.
Uh-huh. And it's also the world capital of psychiatry with 3 times more shrinks per head than in New York. If you're not seeing a psychiatrist, the inhabitants think you're mad.
You don't say. There really can't be that much madness in one place.
Answer question 17, then look at question 18.
Mary, have you ever heard of the Save the Sewer Gators Coalition in New York City?
No, not really. Can't say that I have.
They're claiming that the number of alligators living in New York sewer has dropped sharply because of pollution, which, they say, kills the rats in the sewer. And you know, that's what the alligators eat.
Yuck! That doesn't sound like the most burning environmental issue. Why don't the papers write about the rainforest or something really important?
Answer question 18, look at question 19.
Last winter was really a bad one. 5 skiers were buried in an avalanche on Mont Blanc. A 6th was found alive.
Wasn't there a rescue operation?
Sure, but it was terribly difficult at 12,000 feet. And then they had to put off the rescue operations for bad weather.
This sort of thing happens every winter, doesn't it?
Yes, unfortunately it does.
Answer question 19, then look at question 20.
Janet lost her first tooth last night.
Oh, my. And I was away at a meeting. Was everything okay?
Don't worry. Everything was okay.
But I hate to miss my daughter's big moments.
It's okay. And I got something out of it, too. When I tiptoed into her room to leave money under her pillow, I sat down on the bed beside her. And suddenly I realized that she will have wonderful memories of little things, like jumping in a circle in the green backyard between the two of us.
And so many more good memories. You're a great mom.
Answer question 20. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
In his outings about London, looking for the perfect, or at least the interesting place to eat, Michael Winter has finally come up with something really special. But let him tell about it.
I said to Robert McGee, let's have lunch in a London taxi shelter. Now, I usually get into Robert's cab when my chauffeur's off. We set off for the Grosvenor Gardens taxi shelter near Buckingham Palace. There's a rest rank outside where drivers can park without having to feed parking meters. The shelters provide cheap food for London cabbies. They take up to 12 people at a time on bench seats facing a narrow shelf from which they eat. Robert and I squeezed onto one of the benches. A blackboard menu showed sausage and mashed potatoes with onion gravy and beans, £4. I had a mug of tea. It was good. And then I ordered the sausage and mash. While waiting, I asked, what's the worst thing about driving a cab? Picking up people, came with a laugh, followed by, you can't park anywhere without a traffic warden sticking a £60 thing on you. The formidable chef and landlady, Tina Jenner, wore a green apron with white stripes. One cabbie said to me, you ought to come in more often. Tina ain't half talking proper today. She's got a telephone voice on. I found out Tina was a legal secretary before taking on the shelter 2 years ago. Another cabbie ventured, she's also like a mum to us. She sorts out all the arguments, you know, football, politics, everything. Then my sausages arrived. The sausages were a disappointment, no crispness on the skin. They were enormously long, though, it must be admitted. The beans were weak in colour and taste, not Heinz. I ordered Tina's homemade festive pie with ice cream, and that was sensational. A marvellous homemade pie with apple and raisins. I should have had nothing but an enormous portion of that. Now we'll take a photograph, I announced. A cabbie shot up like lightning, leapt onto the table and ran to get out of the photo. He's afraid his ex might see it, said someone. The photo was taken by Terry. Pity you can't see it. Isn't very good. Middle-aged men don't photograph well. And then we got into a long discussion of the tax man. But, you know, that's a different story.
Now, listen to the same discussion in five sections. Look at questions 21 and 22.
In his outings about London, looking for the perfect, or at least the interesting place to eat, Michael Winter has finally come up with something really special. But let him tell about it.
I said to Robert McGee, let's have lunch in a London taxi shelter. Now, I usually get into Robert's cab when my chauffeur's off. We set off for the Grosvenor Gardens taxi shelter near Buckingham Palace. There's a rest rank outside where drivers can park without having to feed parking meters.
Answer questions 21 and 22, then look at questions 23 and 24.
The shelters provide cheap food for London cabbies. They take up to 12 people at a time on bench seats facing a narrow shelf from which they eat. Robert and I squeezed onto one of the benches. A blackboard menu showed sausage and mashed potatoes with onion gravy and beans, £4. I had a mug of tea. It was good. And then I ordered the sausage and mash. While waiting, I asked, "What's the worst thing about driving a cab?" "Picking up people," came with a laugh, followed by, "You can't park anywhere without a traffic warden sticking a £60 thing on you."
Answer questions 23 and 24. Look at questions 25 and 26.
The formidable chef and landlady, Tina Jenner, wore a green apron with white stripes. One cabbie said to me, "You ought to come in more often. Tina ain't half talking proper today. She's got her telephone voice on." I found out Tina was a legal secretary before taking on the shelter 2 years ago. Another cabbie ventured, "She's also like a mum to us. She sorts out all the arguments, you know, football, politics, everything." Then my sausages arrived.
Answer questions 25 and 26, then look at questions 27 and 28.
The sausages were a disappointment. No crispness on the skin. They were enormously long, though, it must be admitted. The beans were weak in colour and taste, not Heinz. I ordered Tina's homemade festive pie with ice cream. And that was sensational. A marvellous homemade pie with apple and raisins. I should have had nothing but an enormous portion of that.
Answer questions 27 and 28. Look at questions 29 and 30.
"Now we'll take a photograph," I announced. A cabbie shot up like lightning, leapt onto the table and ran to get out of the photo. "He's afraid his ex might see it," said someone. The photo was taken by Terry. "Pity you can't see it. Isn't very good. Middle-aged men don't photograph well." And then we got into a long discussion of the tax man. But, you know, that's a different story.
Answer questions 29 and 30. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate story. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A. Listen to this section.
What's next in mobiles? Engineers at a Japanese phone manufacturer are working on a mobile that can read your lips. All users have to do is silently mouth the word into the mobile. It then converts the lip movements into speech or text. The company hopes to have the phone in production soon. It should be very popular in Japan, where in many public places there is a ban on mobile phone use.
Now listen to this again, and then answer question A.
What's next in mobiles? Engineers at a Japanese phone manufacturer are working on a mobile that can read your lips. All users have to do is silently mouth the word into the mobile. It then converts the lip movements into speech or text. The company hopes to have the phone in production soon. It should be very popular in Japan, where in many public places there is a ban on mobile phone use.
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section.
A year ago, Sarah Brandon, 30, a Sussex marketing executive, had Botox injections to get rid of lines on her forehead. 3 months later, it dawned on her that even the migraine she suffered from regularly had disappeared. A recent study of headache sufferers found that 50% experienced significant improvement after Botox was injected into the muscles of the forehead. More investigations will follow this trial to determine the factors involved.
Now listen to this again and then answer question B.
A year ago, Sarah Brandon, 30, a Sussex marketing executive, had Botox injections to get rid of lines on her forehead. 3 months later, it dawned on her that even the migraine she suffered from regularly had disappeared. A recent study of headache sufferers found that 50% experienced significant improvement after Botox was injected into the muscles of the forehead. More investigations will follow this trial to determine the factors involved.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
An Elizabethan theater has been recreated by a Brit, in America of all places. The British-born director Tina Packer has chosen to work with an American company. She says that she chose America for her Shakespeare productions because she thinks that American actors are more physically alive. And America's multi-ethnic culture is, well, more rough, closer to Shakespeare's time, than England is at the moment. She puts language at the center of the theater and of the training. She says that everything depends on the language.
Now listen to this again and then answer question C.
An Elizabethan theater has been recreated by a Brit, in America of all places. The British-born director Tina Packer has chosen to work with an American company. She says that she chose America for her Shakespeare productions because she thinks that American actors are more physically alive. And America's multi-ethnic culture is, well, more rough, closer to Shakespeare's time, than England is at the moment. She puts language at the center of the theater and of the training. She says that everything depends on the language.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
Let's say you need to complain about something you've bought, like a jumper. When you call the shop to let them know about the problem, say something like, "It's surprising when quality goods from a fine shop like this have this sort of problem." Then when you tell the clerk that you expect nothing less than satisfaction from such a reputable establishment, they'll have to agree with you.
Now listen to this again and then answer question D.
Let's say you need to complain about something you've bought, like a jumper. When you call the shop to let them know about the problem, say something like, "It's surprising when quality goods from a fine shop like this have this sort of problem." Then when you tell the clerk that you expect nothing less than satisfaction from such a reputable establishment, they'll have to agree with you.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
The next thing on the underground platform, the written word. Starting this week, vending machines in London underground stations will spit out short stories by classic authors such as Evelyn Waugh and P.G. Wodehouse, and only for a pound. But will it catch on? After a trial run, one potential reading writer said, "They're a great idea if the machine worked, but it stole my pound."
Now listen to this again and then answer question E.
The next thing on the underground platform, the written word. Starting this week, vending machines in London underground stations will spit out short stories by classic authors such as Evelyn Waugh and P.G. Wodehouse, and only for a pound. But will it catch on? After a trial run, one potential reading writer said, "They're a great idea if the machine worked, but it stole my pound."
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. Also make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.